day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In the Gospel according to John, Pentecost appears to be a quieter time. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." May these words be the word of God to us on this day. Let us pray. Now open our minds and hearts, O God, as we seek to comprehend the reality of your Spirit in our midst. Touch us and change us. Root us deeply in our faith, that we too might be led by the Spirit in our discipleship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the book of Acts begins, commentator Laura Truax notes that we find a group of Jesus followers who can focus only on their own limitations. Think about it. Of the 12 original disciples, one had betrayed Jesus to death. Another, Peter, the vigorous, outspoken leader, had disappeared at Jesus' arrest, and he subsequently denied that he'd ever known him. Of the 12, only one, along with Mary and Mary Magdalene, followed Jesus to Calvary and was there at his crucifixion. The others aren't mentioned anywhere. And by this time, all of the others were still trying to recover from what had just happened to their master, arrest and torture and crucifixion. And they were also trying to comprehend the empty tomb and the experience of the risen Christ's appearances that they'd heard about. Recalling their days on the road with Jesus, they were aware of all that they didn't know. And they had no idea to do or what to say next. All they could do was lock themselves away. I think we know what that's like. There have been times in recent years when we've had difficulty seeing beyond our own limitations, where all we could see was our lack of faith, our lack of a sense of security, our lack of money, or we hesitated to act because of fear of failure, a sense that we just didn't have the knowledge or the skill or the energy to step out into unfamiliar territory. When that happens, what do? Well, we tend to withdraw into the protection of all that is familiar, where we've tried it and it didn't work, and we've never done it that way before, brings an end to all conversation, and we find ourselves behind the locked doors that feel like protection, but which are really the barriers to the future that God has for us. The words of one of our hymns, God of Love and God of Power, penned by Gerald Kennedy, who became one of the best-known bishops of the Methodist Church in the 1950s, remind us, we are not the first to be banished by our fears from thee. Millennia before, the people of Israel felt like that, wandering in the desert, having fled captivity and slavery. To many, it appeared that they were heading absolutely nowhere. They could see nothing but limitations of time and place and circumstance and possibility. In their case, they even longed for the familiarity of Egypt, even though it would have meant a return to slavery and oppression. Unsure that God was even real anymore, they even began to rally around and bow down to a golden calf. And then, in the words of the book of Exodus, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast on a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer. Now, in that encounter at Mount Sinai, the law was given through Moses to the people of Israel. And in and through that law, Torah, the gift of God for the people that God had led out of slavery, Israel was able to imagine a new future. They were reassured that God in faithfulness was with them in a life-giving covenant, giving them a new heart and a new spirit. They broke out of their paralysis and their confusion, and trusting again in Moses' leadership, continued their long journey toward the promised land. Now, this event, this occasion of the giving of the law at Sinai, was remembered by Israel at the annual feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is set as 50 days after Passover. And that's why the disciples were together in that room on that morning, as faithful Jews, to gather to remember the giving of the law. Now, little did they expect or even imagine that on that day the Spirit of God would again move in a transforming way and give them a new beginning that would lead them out of the locked doors of that upper room into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into all the world. That blessing of the Holy Spirit opened them up to a new future. In the words of Michael Jenkins, they learned that a fortress mentality is not an option for those who follow Jesus of Nazareth. We cannot remain in a locked room, fearful and apprehensive. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost is the day that the new covenant in Jesus goes public. What we experience at Pentecost is empowerment of the Holy Spirit for living out the new covenant of God's grace in Jesus Christ, released into the world through the commitment and faith and witness of the people of Christ known as the church, and expressed in many ways and forms around the world, and through the life and witness of this church here in this place. It's important for us to recognize that this new covenant is shaped by a way of life that stands in stark contrast to the world in which we live, a world of dominance and power-seeking, and self-seeking, and greed, and division, and violence, and great disparities in the conditions in which people live around the globe. But the Spirit leads us in the way of life lived by Jesus, described by Terry Eagleton, a professor and a scholar of culture in Great Britain, who offers this observation. The morality that Jesus teaches is reckless, extravagant, improvident, over the top, a scandal to actuaries. I hope none of you are actuaries, take that as an insult. A scandal to actuaries and a stumbling block to real estate agents. Forgive your enemies, give away your cloak as well as your coat, turn the other cheek, love those who insult you, walk the extra mile, take no thought for tomorrow. It is a way of grace. It is a way of courageous and costly service. It is a way of bringing hope and life and healing. It is a way of breaking down walls of hostility and hate and vengeance and offering a way toward committed work for peace and reconciliation. It is the very reality of living out the salvation that we proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world that God loves. Pentecost shows us that the new covenant is cross-cultural and multicultural. Through the Spirit on Pentecost, people from a wide variety of cultures and language groups were able to hear and comprehend what the Galileans were saying, and they were able to hear it in their own language. That's a sign of how the Spirit opens up the universality of the gospel. And it opens the door for the growth of the gospel message around the globe. It is no longer confined to the time and the place of the ancient Middle East. And indeed, that was the very first struggle as the disciples and the Apostle Paul moved into Asia Minor and into the Greco-Roman world and into the world of the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world. Language conveys an entire culture and worldview. And to be able to carry the gospel into those cultures and into those worldviews, it was essential then and essential now to move out of that room and to take a new understanding into the midst of the world. Rather than existing in isolated cultures, we live now side by side in our own community with many cultures and languages every day. One of my favorite activities every year, at least once, is in the middle of the tourist season, is go up to Niagara Falls and just stand there and listen to all the languages around me, all over the world. Now, granted, this brings challenges. The Buffalo Police have just distributed a pocket card to their officers that has phrases in it and printed in various languages and various forms of written language that they can show to someone who calls them, and they can identify the language they speak if they don't speak English, and the police can then call an interpreter to the scene right then. Wow. Think about that. The reality of this multiculturalism right here. You interact in this neighborhood. Itself. See? There are challenges in this, but look at the opportunities that this brings to build a new community of the family of God as we listen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost sends ordinary people, like the disciples, like you and me, into the world with a renewed sense of power. A renewed imagination of what God can do with and through us. Willing to challenge what we perceive might be limitations, overcoming fear, led by visions and possibilities that open the way for future fruitful ministry. How important that is for Christ Church on this Pentecost Sunday. We have spent the past year seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life and ministry. We have listened, and we have prayed, and we have discerned. And the time has come for the Spirit to take us public. We've identified a purpose statement, making connections and offering opportunities for faith, love, and service. We've set some strategies for our ministries for the next 2 to 3 years. And next Sunday at 10 o'clock, we'll gather to hear the results of this process and planning as the strategies are reported, strategies developed to lead us into fulfilling our purpose as a people of God here under the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is calling us to go public. May this be a Pentecost moment in our life together. Amen.